Chapter 16. Luke woke with the same troubled spirit he did every time he dreamed of the face, his chest heavy with the weight of a duty unanswered, his stomach churning with premonitions of failure. The face always came to him half hidden beneath a raised hood, betraying only a hint of its appearance. A mouth frozen into a lopsided grimace of anguish, a jagged brow fixed in a permanent scowl of disapproval, a pair of ebony eyes shining with perpetual malice. He never saw enough of the face to know whether it was the same one each time, but the emotions always came in order: pain, condemnation, spite. Luke had no idea what the pattern meant, but he felt sure it was a storm warning. A beckoning whistle sounded from the far side of the Jade Shadow's elegant master cabin, where R2-D2 stood in the hatchway, rocking back and forth on his support arms. Luke allowed himself the fantasy of using the Force to push the little droid back into the corridor and closing his eyes again. Since learning of Lumia's involvement with GAG, he had been so worried about Ben that he had barely been able to sleep. And even when he did, he was so troubled by dreams that he never woke feeling refreshed. R2-D2 let out an impatient bleat, then extended his charging arm and started across the floor. "All right, no need for the Ronto prod." Luke swung his feet around and sat on the edge of the bunk. "I'm awake." R2-D2 issued a doubtful whistle, but stopped and retracted the charging arm as Luke pulled on his boots. The steady thrumming in the deck suggested that the shadow had emerged from hyperspace and was decelerating hard, presumably on its final approach to the planet Hapes. Luke could sense Mara's impatience through their force bond, though not the cause. Perhaps she was having a hard time securing approach clearance from the Hapen defense forces, or perhaps she was simply eager to get Ben away from any influence Lumia might be exerting over Jason and GAG. Once his boots were fastened, Luke grabbed his robe and started forward through the observation salon. The cratered faces of two silver moons were sliding past outside the shadow's starboard viewport. Outside the other, the ion tails of half a dozen starships were crawling across the star-flecked velvet. In the distance hung a white motionless disk, no doubt one of the battle dragons that would be screening Hapes after the attempt on Tenel Ka's life. Luke continued forward onto the flight deck, where the cloud-mottled disk of the planet itself hung dead ahead. Its sparkling oceans and forested islands were as beautiful as ever, but Luke was more interested in the thumb-sized wedge slowly drifting toward the center of the canopy. Instead of the customary white, the Star Destroyer's hull was matte black, with the telltale dome of a gravity well generator bulging beneath its belly, and a cloaking cone rising midway down its spine. It was the first time Luke had seen the new GAG Star Destroyer. He didn't much like it, and he really didn't like that it had been named the Anakin Solo, after his dead nephew. A canopy section opaqued into a mirror, and Mara's face appeared in the reflection, looking focused and worried. The shadow had a drop-deck helm, with the pilot seated down in the nose of the cockpit, so she had to tilt her head slightly upward to meet his gaze.
"We just received a very interesting holo-recording," she said.
"From Jason?" Mara shook her head.
"From Han, relayed over the holonet from the Jedi Temple."
"Really?" Luke lifted his brow. Before leaving the Jedi Temple, they had been briefed on the Solo's participation in the assassination attempt. Explaining how they're being impersonated by clones and weren't even on Hapes when someone tried to kill Tenel Ka? Because that's the only thing that makes sense.
"Not exactly," Mara said. "And it only gets more confusing. Han and Leia are spying on the coup plotters."
"Spying?" Luke frowned, trying to work out the course of events that would lead the Solos from Corellia to the assassination attempt to becoming spies for the Galactic Alliance. "You're right, it is confusing. But whatever Han and Leia do usually is. What was in the message?"
"They've learned the identity of one of the ringleaders, Mara said. Han wants us to pass the information to Tenel Ka as soon as possible.
Luke looked out the front of the canopy, where the Anakin's silhouette now hung dead ahead of the shadow. Then why are we heading for the Anakin?
I tried to relay the message to Tenel Ka. My signal was routed to Princess Older. He suggested I try again after we were aboard the Anakin.
The Anakin? Luke closed his eyes and expanded his Force awareness toward the Star Destroyer. It did not take long to find the familiar, level-headed presence of Tenel Ka. What's she doing there?
Protecting Alana, I'm sure. I doubt she needed Han to tell her there was a traitor on her staff, or that her daughter is just as much a target as she is.
So she turns to Jason, Luke said. He was struck, as he so often was, by how lonely and sad Tenel Ka's life had become, how much she was sacrificing to ensure a stable and humane government for her father's people. I guess that makes sense. Mara nodded.
When you can't trust your new friends, you go to your old ones. She fell silent a moment, then added, especially if one of them happens to be a very close friend.
Luke raised his brow. You think Jason and Tenel Ka are lovers?
He sneaks off to see someone every few months, Mara said.
Tenel Ka? Luke frowned, trying to imagine Tenel Ka having secret trysts with someone as dangerous to her throne as Jason, then shook his head. If she weren't the Queen Mother, maybe. But there's no future in it.
And you think that would stop them?
Maybe not Jason, Luke said. But a Jedi lover would cause too many problems for Tenel Ka. She wouldn't take such a foolish risk, no matter how she felt about him. Mara's expression remained doubtful.
Tenel Ka has to have something for herself. She's giving everything else to the consortium.
Okay, it's possible, Luke said. He did not understand why he found the idea so alarming. Was it merely because of his fears concerning Jason, or did his misgivings go deeper than that? Perhaps it made him fear that Lumia's corruption was spreading faster than he could contain it. And that's all the more reason we shouldn't speculate. We could be putting Tenel Ka's life at risk.
All right, Mara said, taking the point. But aren't you even a little curious about Alana?
Of course, Luke admitted. But Jason can't be the father. The timing is just wrong. Mara put on a pout that looked completely out of place on her strong face.
Spoil sport.
I'm just saying that it's impossible. Suddenly, Luke felt the need to spell out his reasoning, perhaps because now Mara had him wondering about Alana's paternity. For 6 months after the Battle of Korribu, Jason was confined to the Academy on Ossus, along with the rest of the Jedi Knights involved. And that's when Alana had to have been conceived. If Jason had been slipping off to visit Tenel Ka, we would have known. Mara let out an exaggerated sigh of disappointment.
Killjoy?
Okay. Realizing that Mara was teasing him now, Luke smiled and raised his hands. I surrender. I'm sure we can think of another explanation. We know he visited Tenel Ka when he asked for the fleet she sent to Korribu. Maybe Alana's gestation took a whole year. Mara winced in empathic discomfort.
Now you're just being cruel.
She flicked her gaze toward the reflection of the co-pilot's chair.
Take a seat. You look like you've been wrestling rancors in your sleep.
I wish. Luke slipped into the co-pilot's seat behind her. It was the face again. Mara's expression grew serious.
Jason?
Luke shrugged.
Maybe.
I never see it clearly enough.
Then you can't be sure.
It was male, Luke replied. He could feel through the Force how worried Mara was about Ben, how alarmed she was by the relationship they had discovered between GAG and Lumia. So he did not understand why she still refused to see what was happening to Jason. Who else could it be?
That's the point, Luke, Mara said. We don't know. So far, the only connection we have between Jason and Lumia is some evidence suggesting she's been working with GAG.
And you don't find that alarming?
Like a Gundark in a petting zoo, Mara replied.
She turned her gaze back to the Anakin Solo, which was steadily growing in the center of the canopy.
But there's a big difference between suspicion and fact. What if Lumia wasn't working for GAG? What if someone in GAG is working for her?
You think she subverted one of Jason's subordinates?
I think we need to be open to the possibility, Mara corrected. You don't like what Jason's doing with GAG, so you're predisposed to assume the worst. All I'm saying is we can't let emotion color our judgment.
Luke fell silent a moment, then let out a long breath. You're right. Maybe I'm assuming the worst because I don't like Jason's methods. But your advice is good for both of us, you know. I think you blind yourself to what's happening with Jason because he's the one who convinced Ben not to hide from the Force. Mara nodded.
Guilty as charged, she said, keeping her eyes forward. That's why we have to work together on this, Skywalker. We need to keep each other honest. And if we don't like what we find, we're going to need each other more than ever.
Her tone made Luke frown. What are you saying?
You know what I mean, Skywalker, she replied. If you're right, if Jason has been making a fool of me, he won't be easy to handle. It'll take both of us.
Luke raised his brow, surprised by the ice in Mara's voice. What about that sense of certainty you experienced back at the sparring arena? You said we had to let Ben follow his own path, that you thought the Force had drawn him to Jason for a reason.
I still think that, Mara said. But we have a path to follow, too. Maybe this is where all our paths converge, where Ben's path finally joins ours.
Only Ben's? Luke asked. He was beginning to sense some of the old ruthlessness in Mara, some of her old assassin instinct, and it scared him. What about Jason?
If I'm wrong, Jason won't have a path, Mara said. We'll have to end it.
Now I think you're the one who's assuming the worst, he said. I'm worried about Jason, but I'm not ready to kill him.
Then you're not being realistic, Mara said. If he is working with Lumia, we won't have a choice. I won't let him take Ben down that path with him.
Of course not. But whatever Jason has become, it's due to what happened after he was captured by the Yuuzhan Vong. And I'm the one who sent him on that mission. Luke paused, still struggling with the decision that had cost the life of his nephew Anakin and so many other young Jedi Knights, still wondering what else he could have done to save the Jedi. I won't give up on Jason just because he's lost his way. If he has fallen under Lumia's sway, I'm going to bring him back under mine. Mara's gaze strayed back to Luke's reflection in the mirrored panel.
Why doesn't that surprise me?
Luke flashed an innocent smile. Because you're used to me doing the impossible? Mara sighed.
Something like that.
She looked back to the Anakin, which was now an arm-length wedge silhouetted against the sparkling waters of a Hapan ocean.
But you'd better not be intending to redeem Lumia, too. I draw the line at ex-girlfriends.
Don't worry, Luke said. Even I'm not that naive. Lumia is going down. The comm channel squawked as a traffic controller issued approach clearance for the Shadow. For the next few minutes, as the dark mass of the Anakin continued to swell in the canopy, they were kept busy making course corrections and providing identity verifications. A pair of XJ-5 chase X's flew by to confirm their identities visually, then irritated Mara by looping around to fall into the kill zone directly behind the Shadow. Finally, when the shadow had drawn so close they could see nothing ahead except the dark tiers of the Star Destroyer's blocky superstructure, the traffic controller gave them clearance to berth in the command hangar. Mara dropped beneath the sky of black durasteel that was the Anakin's belly, then angled aft to a small launching bay defended by two quad-cannon laser turrets. She used the attitude thrusters to rise through the barrier shield into the hangar, where a set of beacon lights led her to the designated berth. No sooner had the shadow sat down than an honor guard of 20 GAG troopers emerged from an access hatch. They arrayed themselves in two columns and came to attention facing each other, and a moment later Jason appeared and strode down the aisle between them. A black cape billowed from the shoulders of his black colonel's uniform.
"Oh, boy," Mara said, unbuckling her crash webbing. "Does he know who he looks like?"
"He does if he bothered to look in a mirror."
Luke was disappointed to see that their son was not accompanying Jason, but hardly surprised. He had not felt Ben's presence when he reached out to see if Tenel Ka was aboard the Anakin.
"I just hope that's not the point. He might as well be a recruiting holo for Corellian terrorists."
As they shut down the shadow, Luke expanded his Force awareness to the entire Star Destroyer, searching for any hint that Lumia was aboard. He felt a second presence near Tenel Ka's that seemed very strong in the Force. Her daughter Alana, he suspected, but nothing dark enough to be Lumia. Of course, that didn't mean much. Jason was standing right there in front of him, and Luke couldn't sense his presence either. Once all systems had been placed on standby, they went aft and found Jason waiting at the bottom of the boarding ramp. His face was gray and furrowed, and the purple circles beneath his eyes suggested that he had not been sleeping well, if at all. He bowed first to Mara, then to Luke.
"Master Skywalker, welcome aboard the Anakin Solo."
Jason's voice sounded genuinely warm, though it was impossible to read his true feelings.
"What a pleasant surprise."
"You might want to reserve judgment on that," Mara said. "We need to talk."
"Of course."
Jason remained at the foot of the boarding ramp, making no move to allow them any farther aboard.
"Is something wrong?"
"You'd be safe to assume that," Luke said.
"Where's Ben?"
"On a mission," Jason replied. "He's in a calm blackout zone at the moment. But if it's important, I could dispatch—"
"We'll talk about that later. In private."
Luke had to struggle to keep his voice even. With Lumia on the loose, he did not like the thought of Ben being on a mission anywhere.
"First, we need to speak with the Queen Mother. We have an urgent message for her."
Jason's eyes widened with surprise.
"Tenel Ka?"
"Now, Jason," Luke said. "And we'll need a holoprojector."
Jason let out his breath. "Very well." He stepped aside and led them and R2-D2 up the aisle between the honor guard. "I'm sorry for hesitating, but she asked me to keep her presence confidential. Aside from the Chamberlain she brought along, Princess Soldier is the only Hapen who knows she's aboard."
They passed through a hatchway into a small foyer, where four GAG troopers stood guard over a bank of lift tubes. Most of the tubes had a small sign next to them listing a destination such as engineering or communications. But at the far end of the foyer, a tube large enough for five people remained unlabeled.
"It descends to the detention center," Jason explained,
apparently noticing what Luke was looking at.
"We find that prisoners are less likely to resist if they don't realize they've reached the end of the journey."
"Very practical," Luke said, trying not to be alarmed by how proficient his nephew had become at the art of imprisonment and interrogation.
"I assume it results in fewer injuries to the prisoners."
Jason nodded.
"That, too."
A shudder of revulsion ran down Luke's spine. But if Mara was alarmed by Jason's apparent indifference to his prisoners' welfare, she did not show it. She merely followed him across the foyer to a lift labeled Bridge, then stepped into the tube and rose out of sight. Jason turned to Luke.
After you.
Luke waved R2-D2 into the lift ahead of him, then followed without replying. His stomach sank as the tube walls blurred past. A moment later he came to a stop and stepped out into a sparse durasteel anteroom, where another detail of GAG sentries stood guard over several hatchways leading into a maze of blue-white corridors. A single transparisteel wall, the only one without any openings in it, overlooked the flight deck one level below. Most of the officers there still wore the blue and gray uniforms of a normal Galactic Alliance Star Destroyer complement, but Luke could not help noticing the sense of pride and purpose that they radiated into the Force. Whatever Jason's other faults, he was clearly a good leader. Jason stepped out of the lift behind Luke and spoke to an ebony-skinned trooper standing directly across from them.
"Sergeant Darb, take an escort detail to the Situation Room and inform the Queen Mother that the Master's Skywalker would like to speak with her. We'll be waiting in the briefing cabin."
"Very well, Colonel."
The sergeant saluted sharply and left to obey. Jason turned away from the flight deck, leading R2-D2 and the Skywalkers down a short corridor into a state-of-the-art briefing cabin with a large holocom unit at one end of a sunken speaking stage. The area was enclosed by a circle of flowform chairs, each with a panel built into the arm to control individualized comm units, vid displays, and even automatic calf dispensers. Jason went to a chair at the far end of the oval, then turned to face Luke and Mara.
"I'm afraid it will be a few minutes before Sergeant Darb arrives with the Queen Mother. After the attempt on her life, I'm insisting on Level 5 security protocols, even aboard the Anakin."
"It certainly won't hurt anything," Mara said, "though from what I've sensed so far, your crew seems exceptionally focused and alert, almost fanatic. It's hard to imagine an assassin remaining undetected long enough to defeat security."
"Thank you. Coming from you, Aunt Mara, I take that as quite a compliment."
He sat down and motioned the Skywalkers toward a pair of nearby seats.
"There's a beverage menu in the arm display if you'd like something to drink."
Luke remained standing.
"Thanks, but we're not thirsty."
"I see."
Jason's expression turned from pleasant to disappointed, and he shifted to the edge of his seat.
"Then why don't we get whatever is bothering you out in the open? I know you disapprove of my methods, but the hostility I sense runs deeper than that, and it pains me. You and Ben are the only family I have left."
"That's hardly true," Mara objected. "What about Jaina and your parents?"
"You know how strained my relationship with Jaina has been," Jason said. "I'm afraid her insubordination at Corellia finally snapped it. We're not speaking, and I suspect things are going to stay that way."
"Maybe things would be different if you hadn't brought her up on charges," Luke pointed out.
"What should I have done? Look the other way because she's my sister?"
Jason's voice was cracking, but his expression remained confident and his gaze steady.
"The Galactic Alliance can't survive if her leaders keep playing favorites. That kind of thing is why Corellia thinks she doesn't have to live by the same laws as the rest of the Alliance. The rules apply to everyone or to no one."
Luke did not need the Force to sense the conviction behind his nephew's words. It was pouring off Jason like heat from a star, bathing everyone near him in its glow, no doubt burning those who came too close.
"What about your parents?" Mara asked. "Are you turning your back on them because they don't share your beliefs?"
"Not at all. I'm turning my back on them because they tried to assassinate the ruler of an Alliance member state, someone who's always been a friend to them."
Jason stood.
"My parents are terrorist scum, and that is why I have turned my back on them."
The fire in Jason's eyes was as anguished as it was intense, and Luke finally began to understand just how alone his nephew really was. He had lost his younger brother during the last Pangalactic War and renounced his sister and parents in an attempt to prevent another one. And in his unwavering battle against the evil he saw threatening the galaxy, he was clearly ready to surrender his relationship with his aunt and uncle as well. Like the Yuuzhan Vong who had once held him captive, Jason had become capable of any sacrifice, and just as intolerant of those who did not share his commitment. Jason Solo had fallen not because he was selfish, Luke realized, but because he was selfless.
"Jason, I know your parents' actions are confusing," Mara said, "but you need to trust your—"
"Let Jason judge his parents for himself," Luke interrupted. Their only hope of bringing Jason back was to shock him, to let him discover for himself just how wrong he was. "At the moment, I'm more interested in where Ben is."
"He's aboard a reconnaissance skiff," Jason replied. "I'd offer to holocom him for you, but they're in the transitory mists."
"What's Ben doing in the transitory mists?" Mara demanded.
"Looking for Jaina and Zek," Jason answered. "They went to Terrafon to deliver a message for Tenel Ka and haven't returned yet. I sent the reconnaissance skiff to investigate, and Ben went along to see if he could help find them through the Force."
Mara's voice grew sharp.
"Alone?"
"Of course not. As I told you, he's aboard a reconnaissance skiff with an excellent crew."
A concerned frown came to Jason's face.
"What's wrong?"
"Didn't I warn you that Lumia had returned?"
Luke's tone was just as sharp as Mara's.
"That I was worried she would come at me through him?"
"Yes," Jason said, "but that was back on Coruscant. I don't think there's any reason to worry out here."
"Why not?"
Mara demanded.
"Because you're sure Lumia isn't interested in him?"
Jason's frown turned indignant.
"How would I know that?"
"Jason, we found Lumia's apartment," Luke said. "We know she's been working for GAG. Jason's eyes widened. It was not an unreasonable reaction, given the subject matter, but Luke still wished his nephew wasn't so good at hiding his feelings in the Force. "You might think you've been using her for your own ends," Luke continued, "but you're fooling yourself. Lumia always has an agenda of..."
"Working with GAG how?"
Jason interrupted.
"I certainly haven't seen her in uniform."
"Don't insult us by denying it," Mara said. "She was living in a GAG safe house, and she had been accessing GAG files on the True Victory Party."
"Then she's the one who's been assassinating the Bothans?" Jason asked.
"Why?
What could she stand to gain by spreading the war?"
"You won't get out of this by changing the subject," Luke said. It was impossible to say whether Jason's surprise was genuine or feigned, so Luke assumed it was feigned. "We know she came with you. She left her apartment the same day the Anakin left Coruscant."
"You think she followed us?"
Jason dropped into his chair and punched a button.
"The Anakin needs to remain here in support of Queen Mother Tenel Ka, but I'll take a skiff personally—"
"We'll be handling that ourselves," Mara said. "Ben will be returning to Coruscant with us after this is finished."
"Do you think that's wise?"
The comlight on the arm of Jason's chair blinked on, but he ignored it and continued to speak to Mara.
"It will only interrupt Ben's training. And if Lumia is trying to get at him, she'll have an easier time stalking him on Coruscant."
"Ben is done with GAG," Luke said. "I don't understand yet why Lumia is involved with GAG, but I do know she is. My decision is final."
Jason's face fell. "Very well."
he deactivated the comm unit, then composed himself and continued.
There's a refueling depot at Roku, just outside the mists. You can rendezvous with him there.
Thank you, Mara said.
Jason nodded absent-mindedly, then said, I hope you'll at least share the details of your investigation. If someone in my command is using Lumia as an agent, I need to know.
Of course. Tresina Lobi had been trying to track Lumia down for some time. Luke was giving a slightly altered version of events, in part because he wanted to learn how much Jason did know about Lumia's relationship with GAG. Apparently she succeeded, because we found her body in Fellowship Plaza the morning you left for Hapes.
Fellowship Plaza?
This time Jason's shock was real. Luke felt it through the Force.
Master Lobi is dead?
That's right, Mara said. Though her answer was casual, Luke could sense through their Force bond how closely she was studying Jason. She had already calmed the temple with the address of Lumia's apartment. Mara's account of events was even less accurate than Luke's, and far more distracting to Jason, who barely managed to reply with a murmured, "How unfortunate." Luke was trying to decide how best to proceed, how best to keep Jason off guard so they could continue pressuring him, when the cabin door hissed open. Tenel Ka entered, wearing an Electrotech's flight suit tailored tightly enough to suggest that her physical training remained as intense as ever. She crossed to Luke and Mara, her radiant smile at odds with the aura of tension and worry that hung about her in the Force.
Master Skywalker, thank you for coming.
She embraced Luke, then did the same with Mara.
You are unexpected, but very welcome. We can use all the help we can find.
Thank you, Your Majesty, Luke said. Unfortunately, we're here on a different matter.
But we do have a message that I'm sure will prove very useful,
Mara added.
I hope it includes word of when the Alliance reinforcements will arrive.
The woman who said this was still in the cabin doorway, trailing half a dozen steps behind Tenel Ka. She was tall and pretentious-looking, with a long nose and a mouth turned permanently downward at the corners.
After lending so many of our fleets to the Galactic Alliance, our enemies have us at a terrible disadvantage.
Tenel Ka's face reddened, but she turned and politely motioned at the woman.
Masters Skywalker, allow me to present my chamberlain, Lady Galny, younger sister to the Dutcha Galny of Terrafon.
Luke noted that the name was the same as the planet to which Ben had been sent, but merely bowed to Galny and did not remark on the coincidence.
Chief Omis and Admiral Neothel are assembling a sizable defense fleet, he said. It should be able to depart Coruscant in a week.
A week? Lady Galny burst out. By then the usurpers will have mined the hyperspace lanes and be attacking Hapes itself.
There's no need to worry about the mines, Lady Galny, Mara said. Alliance fleets are well equipped to deal with them. Once the defense fleet is underway, the usurpers won't delay it for long.
Of course they won't.
Tenel Ka's voice carried more confidence than Luke sensed in her through the Force.
Is that the message you mentioned?
Actually, no, Luke said. That message is for your ears alone.
He threw a tactful glance in Lady Galny's direction, but she merely smirked and remained where she was.
I'm the Queen Mother's highest-ranking advisor. To perform my duties properly, I must hear whatever she hears.
Then I'm sure she'll fill you in later.
Mara took the woman by the arm and started her toward the door.
But our instructions were explicit.
Jason rose.
In that case, perhaps I'd better go as...
No, you stay.
Luke motioned him back into his chair.
You need to see this more than Tenel Ka does.
Jason raised his brow, but returned to his seat. Mara pushed Lady Galny out the door with instructions to Sergeant Darb to have her escorted back to her quarters.
"I'm sorry about that, Your Majesty," Luke said to Tenel Ka, "but it's possible that someone close to you is a traitor."
Tenel Ka nodded.
"Yes, I have been having premonitions of that myself, though I don't believe it is Lady Galny."
She smiled.
"I can still sense when someone is lying to me, you know. She is a fool, but she is an honest one." "That doesn't mean she can be trusted with your secrets,"
Mara said, returning to Tenel Ka's side.
"Anyone with that much interest in another person's business won't keep it private." "I am counting on that. With the Anakin Solo in orbit around Hapes, I need someone with me who will report to the rumor-mongers that I have not been sleeping with her Jedi commander."
Tenel Ka glanced in Jason's direction and smiled again.
"Besides, her sister, the Dutcha Galny, is one of my most devoted nobles. It serves my purpose to cultivate the illusion of a special relationship with Lady Galny."
Luke snorted in amazement. "Your life is a maze, Your Majesty. I don't know how you live it."
"Because I was well prepared, Master Skywalker,"
Tenel Ka said solemnly.
"And I thank you every day."
Luke actually blushed, but he remained composed enough to reply,
"And you've always made me very proud, Tenel Ka."
"Though we are disappointed that we haven't met Alana yet,"
Mara added sternly.
"I trust that will change before we depart today?"
Jason started around the chairs, clearly alarmed.
"That won't be..."
"Perhaps," Tenel Ka said. "But, as Jason was about to say, Alana has been very upset by the assassination attempt, particularly since there was a Jedi involved. It might be best if we put it off until another time."
Luke and Mara exchanged baffled glances. Maybe Alana really had been traumatized by the attack, or maybe the rumors of deformity were true. In any case, they had no choice but to accept Tenel Ka's excuse.
"I'm sorry to hear that," Luke said. "I was looking forward to meeting her."
"But the message may clarify a few things about Leia's involvement."
Mara's voice had just a hint of petulance, as though she felt Tenel Ka should have known better than to think the Solos would really try to kill her. She used the Force to lower R2-D2 into the speaking area, then said,
"Play Han's message."
R2-D2 acknowledged the order with a chirp, then went over to the holocom unit and inserted his interface arm into a data socket. A rosy blur appeared over the projection pad and quickly resolved itself into an image of Han's face. His skin was pale and waxy with shock, and his mouth was hanging in a lopsided grimace of pain. Luke immediately felt a pang of concern. Mara hadn't warned him that Han was wounded, but when he glanced over at his nephew, Jason's eyes were hard and narrow.
"Listen up, kid."
Han's voice was low and raspy, as though he was trying to avoid being overheard.
"I don't have long. We've got someone aboard who can't know about this. But I need you to relay this holo to Tenel Ka, and only to Tenel Ka. Someone close to her is a traitor, and it could go bad on us if this message got back to the wrong people."
The image changed to the profile of a beautiful Haepan woman with long brunette curls and high cheeks. She seemed to be leaning over something. Luke thought it might be a bench or table until he saw her remove a tube of Bacta salve from a drawer in the Falcon's medbay. Han's voice continued,
"This is a woman named Morwan, but that might be an alias. She was a flight surgeon aboard the Kendall at the Battle of Korribu. We're fairly sure she's in service to the Algrave family of the Relifon Moons, and she's the contact between the Heritage Council
That's what the nobles behind the coup call themselves, and the assassin who escaped with us.
The woman's image changed to full face, and she looked even more striking, with full lips and soft, slanted eyes. Han kept speaking.
We heard her tell the assassin to take care of Alana first.
The woman's image vanished. Then Han's face reappeared, looking even more distressed than he had a moment earlier.
Luke, Tenel Khan needs to take this threat seriously. The assassin's name is Aura Singh.
Luke was so shocked that he temporarily shut out Han's voice. He knew Aura Singh's name from records of the old Jedi Order that he had gathered and studied over the years.
Thinks she might have been some sort of Jedi about 80 years ago, Han was saying. That's all we know, but there's something else. Keep an eye out for Alima Rar. We bumped into Jag Fell out at Telker Station, and—
Han stopped and glanced over his shoulder. Then his voice dropped to a whisper.
Gotta go. Tell Tenel Khal we're sorry about that mess in the palace. Gidjon was using us to set her up, and we didn't know.
The hologram vanished, leaving them to stand there in silence. Though Luke was intrigued by the mentions of Alima Rar and Jagged Fell, he didn't give it much thought. He was more interested in his nephew's reaction to what they had just seen. Jason was keeping his force presence buried and unreadable, but he was scowling at the floor and taking long breaths. Luke resisted the temptation to suggest that it had been wrong to doubt the Solos in the first place. If Jason was going to break the dark side's hold, he had to rediscover for himself that a Jedi trusted his feelings as much as his eyes. After a few moments of silence, Tenel Ka said,
"Thank you for showing us this message. It is certainly easier to believe the Solos were being used than that they were trying to kill me."
Jason surprised Luke by nodding. "And it explains some of those witness conflicts you mentioned," he said. "If my parents were being used by Gedjon, once they realized what was happening, they would have tried to prevent the attack." A warm sense of relief rose inside Luke. Not only was Jason open to the idea that his parents were innocent, he was looking for reasons to believe they were. Luke grew even more confident that he would be able to turn Jason away from the dark side, whatever his nephew's relationship with Lumia.
"I hate to be a wet blanket," Mara said, "but to me, this smells like they're inviting us to a Hutt's banquet."
Luke lowered his brow. "What are you saying?" He wanted to tell her to stop planting doubts in Jason's mind, but he sensed through their force bond that Mara was only trying to be certain Jason understood his mistake, to be sure that Jason believed in his heart that his parents were not only innocent of aiding the assassination attempt, but incapable of it. "That this might be misinformation?"
"I'm saying their message is convenient."
Mara addressed her comments to Jason.
"If they were involved, the message would be a good way to throw off suspicion and feed us misinformation."
Jason's eyes widened.
"I'm surprised to hear you say that, Aunt Mara."
There was a note of resentment, perhaps even anger, in his voice.
"I thought you had a better opinion of my parents than that."
Mara's gaze did not waver.
"I have a very high opinion of Han and Leia, which is why we have to consider the possibility that they're deceiving us."
She paused, then, with perfect timing, turned to Tenel Ka as though she were dismissing Jason's opinion.
"This is war, and the Solos are fighting for the other side. We have to be careful."
"We also have to take into account who they are," Jason said, also turning to Tenel Ka. "You know my parents. They're not murderers. I think we should trust this message."
Luke's heart filled with joy. Clearly, Jason remained in touch with his emotions, and that meant there was still hope of guiding him back to the light side. After a moment's thought, Tenel Ka nodded to Jason.
So do I.
She turned to Mara with an apologetic air.
You don't know of the discrepancies in the witness accounts, but there was some question of whom the Solos were fighting during the attack. Their message clears that up. Well, it's your decision.
Despite Mara's reply, Luke could sense that she was as happy as he was about the results.
I just wanted to be sure you had considered the possibility. And I'm grateful for that. It could not have been easy.
Tenel Ka turned back to Jason.
Obviously, this means we both need to cancel the orders regarding your parents.
Orders? Luke asked. Capture and detain, Jason explained. He thought for a moment, then shook his head.
But we can't. If they're right about a traitor in your court—
And that much seems obvious, Tenel Ka interrupted. Then canceling the orders would give them away,
Mara finished.
You have to let the orders stand.
Jason nodded.
Anything else could be a death sentence.
Very well. They've proven quite adept at eluding us so far.
Tenel Ka fell silent for a moment, then said,
Now we must consider what we do about Algray and her heritage council.
There's only one thing to do, Jason said.
Exactly.
Tenel Ka went to his side.
I have no right to ask you to do this.
Of course you do, Jason replied. You don't know which of your own fleet commanders you can trust. The Hapes Consortium is a loyal member of the Galactic Alliance, and it's my duty to aid you any way I can. But I'm afraid the Anakin Solo won't be enough. As I recall from the intelligence file, House Algray has a dozen battle dragons of its own.
Correct. And I will provide you with a large enough flotilla to assure your victory,
Tenel Ka said.
But that isn't what I was talking about.
It isn't?
No.
Tenel Ka took his hand.
I must stay here to command the home fleet. With Aurra Singh coming after Alana, however, I want her away from Hapes. Until this is over, she will be safer with you aboard the Anakin.
Are you sure? Mara asked, alarmed.
Jason may be going into battle. And I will be,
Tenel Ka replied, almost sharply.
Algray is not alone on this Heritage Council. When we move against her, the others will move against me, and Hapes will become a far more dangerous place for Alana than the Anakin.
Mara nodded, a bit taken aback by Tenel Ka's tone.
Of course. I didn't mean to question your judgment. Of course you did.
Tenel Ka's tone softened.
And I thank you. It is not something I am very accustomed to these days. Besides, Jason will not have much of a battle. He will have twice the fleet and far better weapons, so he is my best option.
She paused, as though an idea had just occurred to her.
Unless you and Master Skywalker will be returning directly to Coruscant. Sorry,
Mara said.
Alana wouldn't be any safer with us.
I'm afraid we have to track down Ben, Luke explained, and then take care of some unfinished business with Lumia.